نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد With the fazl of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala we have been discussing some ayat of the Quran Sharif and some duas of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Over the past few days we have been discussing the dua Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min zawali ni'matik wa tahawwuli afiyatik وَفُجَاءَةِ نِقْمَتِكَ وَجَمِيءِ سَخَطِكَ. As I've already explained that in these days of fitna, corruption, mischief, accidents, crashes, murders, killings, hold-ups, loss of wealth and property, loss of lives, so we are seeking from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protection from all these type of losses, all these type of calamities, all these type of disasters. After that, if something happens, then there will be khair in it. If the person has done what he has to do, he has made use of the means. And one of the means is also recitation of these duas. Then still if something happens, then he must firmly believe that there is goodness in it and nothing but goodness in it for him. If we have to look at the hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the incidents in the lives of the Sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in and in the lives of the awliya of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and millions of other Muslims throughout the ages, then we will notice very clearly, it is very conspicuous, it is very clear that there were many, many of them who were making the salat, making the tilawat, giving their zakat, fasting in Ramadan, making the hajj, fulfilling the rights of everyone. But yet they went through a lot of trials, a lot of difficulties. Our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, imagine 3 solid years he was ostracized and boycotted. 3 solid years. And the time came when he and his companions had to actually chew leather to survive. Chew the leaves of trees to survive. Now if we had been in the company of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time, many people they say, how nice if we were born in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Indeed, it was would have been an excellent thing to be born in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but our mizaj and our nature would have been the same what it is today. So Abu Lahab was also born in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Jahal was also born in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so many other kuffar and mushrikeen, they were born in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, all these people were born in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The munafiqeen. They did not only see Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam many, many times, they heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had the opportunity of sitting in his company. But yet they did not accept Islam. So who knows what we would have been if we had been in that time. So the niyat and desire is a very good thing. But what we should say is that we wish we had been in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we had been one of his companions, one of his sahabas. So if we had been one of his companions, then we would have understood and believed that he is the Rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And whatever is coming from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is a test. So we would not have lost our iman when we saw Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam being ostracized and boycotted for 3 solid years. No food is allowed, no communication. So we would have said that what kind of Rasul of Allah Ta'ala is this? That the whole universe has been created for the sake of him. And here we have to chew leaves of trees for survival. Na'uzu billah, he is not the Rasul of Allah Ta'ala. We would have said a thing like that. But they understood and believed that this was a very, very testing time. Allah Ta'ala was elevating their stages to such a level that we cannot even imagine. It is the consensus of opinion that all the walis of the world put together, they cannot reach the stage of the lowest sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was the condition of their iman, that in all those trials, in all those tests, they did not shake, they did not waver. So we can see how much of difficulties came upon them. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Suhaib, and all the other sahabas. So from there we learn a lesson, that if the person is doing that which Allah ta'ala has ordered him to do, then if some difficulty comes, then there is khair in it, there's goodness in it, and the people will see sooner or later what goodness was there in it. But if we are continuing with our life of sins, and then the azab is coming, or then those difficulties are coming, then those problems are coming, then we are witnessing what we are witnessing today, then we have to understand that that is the anger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala which is being unleashed. At present we can see very clearly, those who have got basirat, those who have got inner sight, they can see that it is the anger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala which is being unleashed in the form of storms and flood waters and gale force winds and tremors and earthquakes and shake-ups of human beings and everything else. So therefore we are asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the last part of this dua, that O Allah, we are seeking protection from your anger, from anything that displeases you and makes you angry, makes you annoyed, which causes your wrath and your anger to be unleashed. O Allah, we are seeking protection. Sins is something that angers Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is the tolerance of Allah ta'ala, because He is Haleem, is very, very tolerant. Allah ta'ala does not punish straight away. He gives a person an opportunity. Allah ta'ala is so loving, so merciful, so caring, that He wants the person to return. Therefore, that ayat of the Quran Sharif, which has been discussed many, many times, in that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala clearly declares, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. Mischief, fasad has appeared. البر والبحر, land and on sea. Because of the doings of people. It is our hands' doings, our actions, our deeds, that is causing all this facade that is taking place everywhere. Allah Ta'ala says, why has all this appeared? Why are we getting so much of murders and killings and crashes and smashes and everything that's taking place, wars and destruction of life and property? لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا, so that we may give them a taste of some of their doings. It's not all our doings. If only Allah Ta'ala has to punish us for all our doings, we won't even survive. It's just a taste of some of our doings, a little taste of some of our doings that Allah Ta'ala is giving. But again, not for any pleasure. Allah doesn't get any enjoyment in that. He doesn't get any satisfaction. What satisfaction will Allah Ta'ala get in watching this creation being destroyed? لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, so that we return, so that they may return to Him. For the sake of that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sends these type of problems. So we mustn't put ourselves in the category of those awliya-i-kiram and great walis of Allah ta'ala on whom some kind of test comes in their health, in their property, in their children. We must put ourselves in that category, who are the sinful ones, for whom Allah ta'ala gives a little bit of shake-up so that we return to Him. So these sins, I say jokingly to many of my friends that I have now become a specialist in getting people to give up sins. We have GPs, they deal with all parts of the human body. And then we have specialists who deal with only certain parts of the body. Person goes to a specialist, he says, check my eyes. He's an eye specialist. He's a ear specialist. He's a heart specialist. He's this specialist. Now if somebody has to tell that specialist, what is this? You whole day and night only check eyes, nothing else. You only check heart, nothing else. You must do all the other things too. So in the same way here, since this is the major problem, that we will do ibadat, we will make zikr, we will make tilawat, we will do gush, we will do ta'aleem, we will do tabligh, we will go to the khanqas, we will sit by the mashayikh, we will do so many things, we will make tilawat of the Quran Sharif. But when it comes to sins, then we say we don't have the himmat and the courage to give up sins. Check our lives and see that inside the masjid we will do everything. We'll do so many dini activities. But then when we are in the business, then it's all forgotten. When we are in the homes, it's all forgotten. When we are the people, it's all forgotten. That what are the rights of others? Then there will be sin upon sins, waves of sins, oceans of sins. And that is the reason why we can't seem to take off. We are not making progress. Every time we are filling in a little bit of petrol in the tank, then we are puncturing the tank and everything is out again and we can't take off. Again, that example is a beautiful example, and for the benefit of all those who are listening, Maulana Abraul Haq Sahab Damod Barakatum was traveling in a car from Jeddah to Makkah Mukarrama. It was an extremely hot day and the window was left a little open in the car, so therefore the car was not cooling. So he told the driver, he said, the car is not getting cool. Isn't your air conditioner working? He said, yes, it is working, but must be somebody's window left open. So when they checked at the back, the window was left a little open and the hot air was coming inside. So he said, that is the cause that the car is not cooling. He said, look at the lesson that we take from this. That the air conditioner does cool, but when the window is left open and the hot air is coming in from the outside, so therefore the air conditioner is not performing its function properly. It's not cooling the car. In that same manner, we are making zikr, which should give us noor in the heart. We are making tilawat, it should give us noor in the heart. We are making talim, it should give us noor in the heart. We are making other ibadat, it should give us noor in the heart. And our hearts should be cooling with all that ibadat and zikr and tilawat and everything else. Our life should have been finding sukoon and peace and tranquility. If we are not finding it, it means the windows of sins are open. Through the ears, through the mouth, through the eyes. We don't know how many sins we commit with our hands and with our feet and with our heart and with our mind. Now all these windows are open. And as a result, what is happening? That the hot air of sins is coming inside and the effect of that coolness is gone. The coolness of ibadat is gone. So this is what we should be really learning in this month of Ramadan. That we should abstain from sins, because that is what angers Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And we can see when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gets angry, that what happens to our lives. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala makes the lives miserable after that. The person has no sukoon in his heart. Now what must I do? This incident is coming quite heavily now on my mind, so I will complete it. If it takes 2-3 minutes extra today, then bear with me. Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayh, a young person came to him and he said, oh Shaykh, he says, I'm a young person, I just can't restrain myself from sins. So show me something that I can do, that I can commit sins to, and I don't get punished by Allah Ta'ala also. Now look at the kind of request. What a difficult request. Now if one of us had heard a request like that, we'll give him 1-2 slaps and say, what are you talking? He says, kufar. But they understand, they talk with different people in different ways, because their intention is to bring them on to track. You can see that this person has got that fear of Allah Ta'ala at heart. He does not want to be punished. He believes that there is akhirat azab. But it's his weakness. So therefore he's asking. So he talks to him in a very different angle. Just like that sahabi that came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, give me the permission to commit zina. As a young person, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him questions. Do you have a mother? Do you have a sister? Do you have an aunt? Do you have a daughter? And then he told him, he said, if somebody commits the same thing with your mother, would you like it? With your daughter, would you like it? With your aunt, would you like it? With your sister, would you like it? And in every way, place he said, I will never ever accept it. I'll take the sword and take the person's neck off. So he said, that is exactly what you are doing with somebody's mother, somebody's sister, somebody's aunt. So how would they feel? And then he put his hand over his chest, over the chest of that young sahabi, and he said, Allahumma ghfir zamba, O Allah, forgive his sins, wa tahhir qalba, and purify his heart, wa sin farja, and protect his chastity. The sahabi says after that he never even thought of zina. That was the Mubarak dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nevertheless, so Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Azam rahmatullah alayhi, he asked him, he said, well, or he told him, he said, your request is a very difficult one, but listen carefully. He says, if you want to commit sin, there's no problem. Go ahead, commit the sin. But only do one thing, that since you do not want to be seen by anybody, so don't commit the sin somewhere where somebody can see you. Just commit it somewhere when nobody can see you. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also cannot see you. At such a place, go and commit the sin. Wherever you think Allah ta'ala is not watching you, then go and commit the sin. So the young person said, how can I ever go to any kind of place where Allah ta'ala is not watching? أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مَا يَكُونُ مِن نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ وَلَا أَدْنَى مِن ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْثَرَ إِلَّا هُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. There's no time to go into tafsir of this ayat. Allah Ta'ala is with you wherever you are. If there are three people, Allah Ta'ala is the fourth. If there are five people, Allah Ta'ala is the sixth. If there are seven, is the eighth. If there are ten, is the 11th. Allah Ta'ala is everywhere. He is watching you. He is with you. So he says, I just cannot do that. Go and commit sin somewhere where Allah Ta'ala is not watching me. Wherever I am going to go, Allah Ta'ala will be watching me. He said, okay, if you cannot do that, then do another thing. The rizq or the sustenance that Allah Ta'ala is providing you with, stop eating that sustenance. Stop eating that food. It is all coming from Allah Ta'ala. When the person is committing sins, when he's indulging in zina, when he's indulging in other sinful activities, then he must have some strength in his body to commit those sins. You can ask the person who is trapped on a hospital bed and he's got tubes and running through all parts of his body, and go and ask him at this moment in time now, would you like shifa from your illness, or would you like me to bring your mahbub, your mashuka, your illicit beloved to indulge in some sins with her? What will that person say? To hell with that mashuka. At this moment what I want is my Allah's shifa. So the sins that the person is committing, it is because he has got strength in his body. So he said, stop eating that rizq of Allah Ta'ala, because that which rizq which you are eating is giving you strength. And that strength now you want to use to commit sins. So first don't eat that rizq and tell Allah Ta'ala that I didn't eat the food that you gave. I didn't eat the bread, I didn't drink the milk, I didn't eat the fish, I didn't eat the fruits, I didn't eat anything that you gave out of sustenance. So therefore I was committing sins. He said, Shaykh, that is impossible. How can I then even live if I'm not going to eat? How can I survive? Inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives me life, health and another opportunity to continue, it's already almost 20 minutes, then I will continue tomorrow. I think it's better that we keep to our time. Otherwise, as I said, then our clients might run away the next day. So, sometimes when a person pulls extra time, especially when it comes to waz, nasihat and deen, then the next day the person says, no, thank you very much. We were told it's going to be about 15-20 minutes, but it was half an hour, 45 minutes. So jazakallah. Today we're not coming. Never mind what little we hear, listen with the niyat of amal. Listen with the niyat of amal. And just make that little effort. Wallah, it is a month of Ramadan. I'm in the masjid and I can take qasam upon qasam upon qasam. That the day we start giving up sins, or that we give up sins in our lives, immediately we will find sukoon in our hearts. We'll get noor in our hearts. We'll get tranquility in our hearts. We'll get such peace in our homes, our family lives, everything you find, it'll just come on track. Marriages which were breaking down when they gave up sins, alhamdulillah, they say the marriages have been restored. Unity, happiness, there's so many incidents. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to realize, understand. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. Those who are still sitting here, first make sure that your cars are not obstructing. Especially if you are parked in the front or in the passages on my right and left, then first go and remove your cars. That is very important. At the end of the program, first thing you must do is go and check your cars. Mulaqat and sitting for extra du'as and nafil salat or anything else must always be after that. That is the teachings of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we should not cause inconvenience, difficulty, unnecessary problem for anybody. Yes, while the program is on, the people know that it is an announced program, so many minutes, so much time it is going to take for that program. And that is another thing that we have taken out, discarded from our dictionaries, consideration for others. As long as we are happy, it is sufficient. We must be happy. What happens to the next person, we are unconcerned. And the days are going fast. And everybody, it is on their lips that this Ramadan is going extremely fast. We just can't imagine how the days are gone. So many days have gone. Before we knew it was already Ramadan, and yet we're talking about it 6 months ago, Ramadan is going to come. Ramadan Sharif came, then we said still this is the first week, and next thing, before we knew, the whole week was gone. Second week was gone. Then we said now we're going to enter the last 10 days and nights at the Kaaf. And already 2 nights of i'tikaf are gone. Zindagi ho rahi hai misl barf kam. Again the same thing. Chupke chupke rafta rafta dam badam. Life is melting away, melting away. Always picture our lives as a block of ice. Picture our lives as a block of ice. On a hot day, how the ice, the person wants to take it quickly and put it into the fridge or put it somewhere where it does not melt and save it. Why? Because it's going to melt. Especially those people who sell ice in India, Pakistan, many places on the streets they are selling ice. So they cover it with a sack, with a bag, and they shout and they scream, ice, ice. Why? They want people to buy it quickly before it melts. So just like that, our life is like that block of ice. Drop by drop it is going. We are going closer and closer to our graves. The parents get extremely happy. My child is now 10 years of age, now 15 years of age, now 20 years of age, now 30 years. The person thinks that I am getting older and life is increasing. In reality, life is decreasing. Day by day the person is going closer and closer to his grave. And then the day will come, kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut. Every soul shall taste of death. And that is that break that I always talk about. That when we think of death, then it's a break on our sins. So as I mentioned a little earlier, that is what I am specializing in now, with the fazal of Allah Ta'ala. Because I found that that is the only thing that puts a person on track and makes him stay away. And when he stays away from sins, then he starts finding what he is in search of. Otherwise all of us can keep saying from now till doomsday, that we are in search of Allah Ta'ala and we want Allah Ta'ala's marifat and muhabbat and Allah Ta'ala's closeness and the ishq and love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we can keep saying that, but it is not going to come, and it will never come until we do that which Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have ordered and stay away from that which Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are displeased with. How else can it come? If there is any other way, then show it to me. Is there any other method? The whole story of Layla and Majnun has been mentioned so many times by Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh. So was he just telling us some love stories? What? You think he was taking some enjoyment and pleasure in giving us love stories of Layla and Majnun? How Majnun was mad over Layla. It is to teach us the love of Allah Ta'ala, that if a man can go so mad in his infatuation and love for a human being who is filled with nothing but filth in the body, and one day death will overcome that person and the person will turn to dust, and then there will be nothing left, no sign of that body, of that beauty anymore, but yet the person for sensual love is giving his life, then that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, should we not have that kind of love or more than that for Him? Or at least that much. And then what is the natural reaction of a lover? That is what we are being taught. That the lover wants to spend his wealth on the beloved. He wants to spend his time with the beloved. He wants to sacrifice his life for the beloved. So here when we make Allah Ta'ala our beloved, then it will become easy to make all the sacrifices and do everything else. Sometimes we get carried away by some of our actions and activities. We get carried away that indeed I have now reached high stages because I am doing a lot of ibadat, a lot of zikr, a lot of tilawat. I spend so much time with my shaykh and in the khanqah, and I spend so much time in the jamaat and in tabligh and in dawat, and I spend so much time teaching Bukhari Sharif, Tirmizi Sharif, Abu Dawud Sharif, and I spend so much of time giving hampers and doing all kinds of social work and counseling and what else. Now shaitan puts the thought into our hearts that now you have reached a very high stage. But the condition of our heart is the same. Because sometimes there is a lack of sincere niyat and intention. The person's niyat and intention is not right. And sometimes show business comes in. Sometimes loud and bold claims come in. Sometimes we are indulging in sins in the privacy of our lives, you know, when we are in our homes, when we are in the bazaars, when we are in our shops, in our businesses and all that. Sometimes it is amanats that we have not taken care of. There are many different kinds of sins we indulge in, and we don't make sincere tawbah from that. So just our positive ibadat gives us a wrong impression. Whereas both go together. The light comes on when you have negative and positive wire. So the positive side is there, that we are making a little bit of tilawat sharif, a little bit of zikr, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But when it comes to the negative wire, to restrain ourselves from haram, then that only comes in the sohbat of the salihin, the sohbat of those who have purified their hearts. Then you get that current that comes into us too. If you have 10 people and all of them are sick, all of them are bedridden, all of them are paralyzed, now you tell them that you help this one, you help that one, to take that medication from that shelf. Now the medication is there, the injections are there, everything is there. But all of them are paralyzed. So now you tell the person that now you get up and bring it. The chap says, you get up and bring it. He says, but I can't get up, you get up and bring it. He says, I too cannot get up. So how will each one help the other? But if you have just one amongst them also, who has got some strength, some health, some energy, then that person can help all 10. That person, one person, although he may be very weak too, but he's got some strength to walk, to talk, to stretch his hands to pick up the bottle, then that one person can help all 10. And if there are 1,000 people that are lying down there like that, that one person can help even all the whole 1,000. He can give to this one, to that one, to bring that bottle, give to this one, bring that bottle, give to this one, and can carry on giving the 1,000. So what is required is that spiritual strength. And we show total indifference when it comes to this. We are quite happy that we can read the books and make our Islam. If just reading the book and making Islam was sufficient, as these days is very common, that we got the books at home, we got the tafsirs of the Quran Sharif now, we got Bukhari Sharif and Tirmizi Sharif and Muslim Sharif English translations now. So why do we need any ustad or any of our mashayikh or anyone else to teach us and direct us? So then they should do the same thing also with the medical books, if they are in English. So if somebody comes with a heart problem, then say, well, I know, I read in the book. I can also perform surgery. I read in the book. And then try it out. Because it's in English. Or why do they have all these restrictions that at the court only an advocate can appear on behalf of somebody and senior counsel and all those things? We can also read those law books and we can give an interpretation of those books. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would have just distributed the Quran Sharif. They were Arabs, they could read Arabic, they could understand Arabic. Why is it that the Sahabi is called a Sahabi? The Sahabi read namaz also. The Sahabi made tabligh also. The Sahabi made tilawat of the Quran Sharif also. The Sahabi gave zakat also. The Sahabi made hajj. The Sahabi made all kinds of ibadat. But yet he is called a Sahabi. Ashabu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because whatever you get, whatever they got it through the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All that which came in their lives, whether it was dawat, whether it was talim, whether it was tilawat of the Quran Sharif, whether it was zikrullah, whether it was charities, whether it was care for the poor, the needy, the orphans and the widows, that society of Madina Sharif, wherever they got that, they got it from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sohbat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was so important. After Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then the Sahabas who had imbibed in themselves now, that fragrance came into them. Now they passed on that fragrance to the Tabi'in. And it went on like that. Then it dwindled that now in these days we say we have to search. That in a whole community sometimes you will find just one person or two people that will have that kind of fragrance of the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, from which the others will be able to benefit. So this is a great opportunity Allah Ta'ala has given to you that you are in i'tikaf. So we don't say that all the akhlaq and everything will come away in this i'tikaf. But if Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, together with all the other things that he used to do, he made i'tikaf in the month of Ramadan. And Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that I'm making in search of Laylatul Qadr. If sinful ones like us sometimes can experience Laylatul Qadr, so we think that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that it was difficult for him to experience that it was Laylatul Qadr. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, I mean, he would have been the first one to know exactly which is Laylatul Qadr. That experience of Laylatul Qadr which we read in the kitabs, he would be the first one to experience it. And as we read that sometimes he experienced it on the 21st, sometimes on the 23rd, sometimes on the 25th, sometimes on the 27th. So after he experienced it on the 21st, then did he give up any effort for the rest of the month? Or did he still exert himself? So this i'tikaf is where you have placed yourself at the door of Allah Ta'ala, at the feet of Allah Ta'ala, to beg of him that, oh Allah, change the condition of my life, change the direction of my life, make me of your obedient servants. We have cut off from the outside world, so now make the best of the opportunity that you have. Duas are accepted when you are in i'tikaf. You are in the house of Allah Ta'ala. When a person is a guest of someone and he has come from a distant land or distant place, or after a long time the person has come, then we go out of our way to entertain that guest. If he is a beloved of ours, or he has come as a guest and is staying at our house and is, and we are waiting for him too after a long time he has come, then we go out of our way to entertain that person. Now we too have gone far from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. After a long time we have come to his door. And we have come into his house. So you think Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not going to accept those du'as? When that guest says that today I would like to eat fish, today I would like to eat meat, he asks the guest, oh, what do you want to eat today? You have come after such a long time. You are a guest in my house. What would you like to eat today? Don't we ask the guest, especially with respectable guests? Then we want to go out of our way to make khidmat of that guest. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is more hospitable than anyone else. And He's asking us, He's telling us, now ask, what do you want? Do you want maghfirat? I'll give you maghfirat. You want risk and sustenance? I will give you risk and sustenance. You want a removal of your difficulties and problems? I'll remove it for you. You are in my house. Beg of me, ask of me. I have opened the floodgates for you, my servants. No matter how sinful you may be, no matter how weak you may be, no matter how much you may have distanced yourself from me, and no matter how much you may have disobeyed me, but now that you have come into my house, beg of me, beg of me. And my treasures are unlimited.